Well, today is a day like no other. Hello, and no matter what season of life you are in, there is hope. Welcome to our daily broadcast, Hope for Your Heart. At this time, I would like to introduce Senior Pastor Calvin Corbett from Hickory Ridge Community Church in Chesapeake, Virginia, who has an encouraging message just for you.
Hello, welcome to Hope for Your Heart. This is Pastor Calvin Corbett. So glad you're joining us today. Hope that you're having a great week. Hope things are going well with you. And we pray for you. Our church prays for you. And every Thursday morning, we have a season of prayer. And if I can ever pray for you, feel free to give me a call at 421-7500. We'll add you to our prayer list. And I want you to know that we care deeply for you. And we do this broadcast, and we do it every day so that we can be a blessing to you. It's called Hope for Your Heart. And our goal is to really bring hope to you as you navigate through life. And I know we're going through very difficult times. And as we look at the times that we're living in, it's so good to know that we have that blessed hope, that we know that God is in control. Even when we don't know all of the answers as to why things are happening, we definitely know who is in control. Well, on our Monday broadcast, I always try to look back and kind of do a recap of our weekend of what we did at Hickory Ridge Community Church. And we've been doing drive-in church, and we've been having a really good time doing drive-in church. I've had a really good number of people who are coming. I've had a lot of new people that have tried us out for drive-in church, and we're so excited about that. We've been going through a series called Soul Detox. And as we go through this series, each week we have a different theme. And so today we want to talk about toxic people. And I know this is a tough subject to even kind of broach, especially over a radio broadcast, but as I think about this subject, every once in a while, you're going to have toxic people come into your life. Now, some people are in denial about this, and some people think that as followers of Christ, that we should always just love people, just always encourage people. And I want to spend just a minute talking about that. And what did Jesus do? How did he respond? You know, according to the National Geographic website, there's a fish called the puffer fish who can inflate into a ball shape and actually evade its predators. It's also known as the blowfish. Now, these clumsy swimmers will fill their elastic stomachs with huge amounts of water and then sometimes air, and then they blow themselves up several times than their normal size. These blow-up fish are not just cute, but they're also very dangerous and very toxic. Most pufferfish contain a toxic substance that makes them foul-tasting and potentially deadly to other fish. The toxin that is in these fish is a poison that is known to be 12 times more deadly than cyanide. There is enough poison in one of these pufferfish to kill 30 humans. And right now, there is no known antidote. You know, like pufferfish, human beings can blow themselves up with pride and arrogance and make themselves look bigger than they really are. And this pride can become toxic to a marriage, to a church, to a business, and it's arrogance that will cause this to take place. One person said this about pride: pride is your greatest enemy. Humility is your greatest friend. Now, as we begin this broadcast today, as some of you are listening, you may not agree with what I'm about to say, and I have discovered that the more you disagree with this will probably be an indicator that this is something that is hitting home. I want to point out just a few factors. There are actually 10 types of toxic people, and I want to give you those factors quickly, and that way we can get into the response of what Jesus did when he encountered toxic people. Well, the first type of a toxic person is the controller. This is the person that is the master manipulator, the one who is constantly grabbing and wanting to maintain control. They want to be in charge, not just of their lives, but also of yours and everybody else's too. They'll watch you like a hawk, and they're ready to pounce on your every single flaw. They will micromanage your life right down to the last detail. They have trouble letting go, so they never let go. They hold on, and they hold on too tightly until it about chokes out all of the life around those around them. The second type of a toxic person would be the one who is the abuser. This is the person who desperately is needy inside, and it's just a person that wants to have all the world around them to pay for the fact that they've been hurt. In their own experiences, they have internalized their past hurt, and they've become angry. They've become vicious. They've actually become cruel to those that they say they actually care about the most. These are the people that go for counseling, and when they go for counseling, they say, well, the counselor is missing the whole point. So that would be the abuser. The third type of toxic person is one who is too easily angered. This is a person that whenever you're around this person, you always feel like you have to tiptoe around them. Like you never know exactly what's going to set them off, what's going to cause them to go into a fit of rage. These people become easily irate at even the smallest things. As you look at a toxic person that is too easily angered, they have deep-rooted bitterness within inside of them. And they're known to throw things and hit things, and they're known to sprout off in anger, and they're people that quickly lose their cool. Well, the fourth type of a toxic person would be the one who is a bully. The bully is that person who is wanting to control everything, but they're very subtle and they're very offensive and they attempt to push people around. They're always wanting to make themselves look powerful and feel powerful, and they have this strong need to feel better and to look better than those around them, and they will do anything they can to bully those who are in their path. They use words, they use fists, they use lies, they use fear, but all in all, they want to push others down and exalt themselves, and they will stop at nothing to achieve their goal. The fifth type of a toxic person would be one who is the addict. This is a person that is addicted to some kind of a substance. This is a person that his behavior is so affected by the well-being of those around them that they get addicted to some kind of a substance. They need professional help. They need spiritual help. They need people who will be brave enough to speak truth into their lives. Those who are the addictive type toxic person are the ones that are living in denial. They will blame everybody else for their problems and never take full responsibility for their wrong actions. And then we have the negative person. That's the sixth type of a toxic person. This is the type of person who has rarely anything positive to say because they see everything through a negative slant. They have no problem explaining to you why everything is so bad. I mean, the sun may be shining, but in their mind, it's probably about to rain. Life is viewed through a shaded, cloudy lens. They tend to be complainers, worriers, whiners. These people often don't even realize that they're just negative all the time. They walk in defeat and they choose to believe the worst about most things, even you. And then we have the blamer. The blamer is the person who is never to blame for anything that goes wrong in his life. It's always your fault. They will blame everything on others who are close to them. If they're having a really bad day, it's your fault. If they're running late, it's your fault. If they lose something, well, that's your fault too. If they fall or fail at something, that's your fault. You will never win around the blamer because their aim is to bring you down through their constant blame game. And then we have the gossiper. This is the person that is always talking and usually always talking about someone else. They have an overriding need to be in the know and to pass on the next juicy morsel to an open listening ear. They can be vicious and their words can be very cruel, and in their hearts toward others, they are very mean. They have no regard for the reputation of another person. They feed on lies. They feed on exaggerations. They feed on mere hearsay and half-truths. They tend to feel better while talking about others, so they somehow feel better when they talk about themselves. And then we have the arrogant toxic person. This is the person who is prideful and self-serving and always right. This is the person that is never admitting they are wrong. They never want to be made a fool of, and they never have a problem labeling others as foolish. This is the type of person that if you got in a debate with them and says, I think you're kind of toxic, they would lash back and say, no, you're the toxic person. They pry on the weak and they make themselves to appear to be better than anybody else. They are quick to judge, quick to offer their opinions, and tend to be very rude to others. The last type of a toxic person that we have is the jealous person. This is a person that is driven by pride. This is the person that is doing the job of Satan, really, and they're jealous of what others have accomplished. They're jealous of the popularity of others, the success of others. As you look at this, jealousy is what took Satan down. He became so prideful of himself that he looked around and he says, I am like God. He wanted to actually be in God's position. So when we look at this whole issue of toxic people, I know this is a tough subject to even broach, and it's a tough subject to get past. But if you've ever been in a situation that you feel trapped by a toxic person, I think today's broadcast will help you navigate through this time. I want to recommend to you a book that I have learned so much about in dealing with toxic people. The title of the book is When to Walk Away by Gary Thomas. Gary Thomas says that toxic people are dangerous because they destroy, deter, and delay God's mission for our lives. They do the work of the enemy, often by misusing God's word and abusing God's people. When you think about growing a great farm, those who are planting farms understand that they've got to do some things to keep their farm protected from pestilence, from disease, from weeds. If you're an apple tree farmer, for example, you must nurture those trees. And a good apple tree farmer knows that sometimes they have to cut off branches in order to produce better fruit. If a branch produces no fruit, it is depleting the rest of the tree. The rest of the tree's output is hindered by a dead branch. So if it's producing substandard fruit, as they cut away these branches that are not producing good fruit, it allows the other branches to produce more productively. When you think about eradicating toxic people from your lives, the reason this is so important, and I never really thought about this before, is that if I'm hanging around toxic people, they are deterring me from the mission of producing fruit. They are keeping me from being all that God wants me to be. You see, your life is like a tree and people are like branches. Learning to handle toxic people is learning that, sadly, some branches and some relationships need to be cut off. I know this is a difficult subject, but I'm going to give you a few things today that I think will help you in this process. You see, if somebody's making you feel less involved, less energetic, less caring as a person, and that is no longer your top priority, it may be time, and it probably is time, to do some pruning. Now, pruning isn't about our comfort as much as it is about our productivity. I'm amazed at how refusal to prune can even put strong and capable people in comical situations. I read the story of a high-powered married couple who were servants of the Lord, and God was using their ministry not only on a national level, but even on an international scale. They confessed that one day a particular woman rang their doorbell. They both hit the floor, staying as quiet as they possibly could, waiting for her to go away. As they prayed, she wasn't able to see them through the windows. Now, this is not a weak couple, yet they found themselves in a situation, and maybe you've been in that situation, where they're hiding from somebody who is toxic. Now, if you would wonder if it would be easy to be in this situation, I think many times we feel ourselves in this situation. It may be difficult to admit that, but I think all of us can relate to a time in our lives where that has happened. As we think about really sensitive people, and the reason this is so important, I think, for Christians is because oftentimes the church is a drawing place for those who are toxic. I mean, after all, you look at a church and its mission is to carry out the gospel, to make disciples of all people. Church people tend to be very kind, very sensitive, very long-suffering, very kind to those who come to their doors. And as a result of that, sometimes we can open ourselves up to be actually welcoming toxic people. As we look at particularly sensitive people, it may seem harsh to prune out somebody out of your life. It may even sound somewhat unchristian to do that. But consider these words of Jesus. Jesus said in John chapter 15, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vineyard. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes, and he prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce more fruit." Now, this is what Paul said on this same line of thinking. Paul says, "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." So Paul is telling us that we must not let anything move us from the mission that God has given us. As we take it even a step further, in the book of Titus, Titus is one of the three pastoral epistles in the New Testament. You have 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. Paul says to Titus, "Do not get involved in foolish discussions." This is Titus 3, beginning at verse number 9. "Don't get involved with foolish discussions about spiritual pedigrees or quarrels or fights about obedience to Jewish laws. These things are useless and it's just a waste of time." He continues on and says, "For people like that have turned away from the truth and their own sins condemn them." And then Paul continues on in that vein and he says, "Warn a divisive man once, warn him a second time, and then have nothing to do with him." So here Paul is instructing Titus as he's leading the church. As a divisive person enters into the congregation, you give them two warnings, and then you have nothing to do with them. Why? Because they are doing the work of the enemy. The enemy comes to kill, destroy, and divide. But Christ has come to give his life and life more abundantly. Well, how did Jesus deal with those who are toxic people? Sometimes to follow in the footsteps of Jesus is to walk away from others or to let them walk away from us. Pruning toxic people out of our lives is not unchristian. After all, Jesus does it, God does it. In John chapter 15, the reason toxic people do so much damage is because they get us off the purpose and the mission that God has for us, His people, and His church. You see, any God-given mission is going to attract opposition. And that's where the enemy uses toxic people. You know, in the very early days of the church that I now pastor and had the privilege of starting, we had a couple who was visiting our church where we were just very young. We were just getting started. Now, we weren't one of these churches that started with a couple hundred people. We started with just my family, just me and my wife. And at that time, we had three kids. And we were meeting at the Hickory Rorton Club. And I remember several weeks into this brand new church, we had a couple that was very young, very attractive, very engaging, and immediately we connected well with them. And it seems like immediately they were very interested in our church. And it didn't take me very long for him to tell me just how wealthy he was. It didn't take him very long to really appreciate the vision that I had for the church. And he was very filled with flattering for my preaching. And he came along, in my opinion, way too strong. And it sounded like they were too good to be true. And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, why in the world is this high-powered couple interested in our fledgling little congregation? He told me, as I had lunch with him one day, that if I would just give him a position within the church, that he would bankroll the ministry. We'd have plenty of money to buy land, to build buildings, and that the church would be the church of the community. Mr. Flattery was going to take care of us financially, and in exchange, he would control us, and we'd be off mission. Ironically, at this time, as I was working as a salesman in my territory, I was visiting a local church. As I was visiting this church, I stopped in and I met the pastor. I spent about an hour talking to the pastor. And as I was talking to the pastor says, "This is a church that should have never been built." And that kind of piqued my interest. I mean, what kind of pastor says that his church should have never been built? And then I heard the story of how a young couple came along and they were disenchanted with a church that they were part of in the community. And this little church was trying to get started. And this guy says, "If you will just allow me to be a leader in your church, I will bankroll everything." Well, sure enough, they had bought a building and they had bought land and they had taken care of that church, but that church never got traction. That church was under the control of that toxic person. Well, getting back to Mr. Flattery, who I had lunch with, I began to explain to him that I wanted our church not to be a church that was built by man, not built by a denomination, but I wanted to be our church that was built by God. I wanted him to have sole and exclusive authority and glory in our church. I said, "I'm not really interested in your money." And I said, "I don't know you well enough to know if I should put you in a leadership position. I think you ought to wait at least a year before you're in any kind of a major leadership position within a church." I no sooner got those words out of my mouth, and that man hit the table and said to me, "Your church is going to fall apart, and I'm going to see to it that it is destroyed. There's going to be nothing coming out of your church. I'm going to put a stop to it," and he stormed out of the restaurant. I often wonder what happened to that guy all these years later. I wonder what he is doing now. I wonder if he's even still alive. As you think about toxic people, as soon as you begin to hit them in a nerve, that is when they begin to show their true colors. Kerry Newhoff is a pastor that shares 6 early signs of toxic people. Number 1, toxic people tend to come on too strong. I mean, you just meet them and all of a sudden they think you're lifelong friends. They come on way too strong, way too fast. Toxic people are also those who tend to give advice during their very first meeting. You ever meet anybody like that? Every once in a while, we'll have somebody that will visit our church, and at the end of the service, I'll spend some time talking to them, and it amazes me how many pieces of advice they want to give me. They want to tell me everything that we should be doing. They want to tell me everything that we should be believing. They want to tell me everything that we shouldn't be doing, and it amazes me that they can give me so much advice after visiting our service just one time. But that's a sign that that person may be toxic. Toxic people also would rather tell rather than wait to be asked. In other words, they're too quick to offer up their opinion. Toxic people want to be the center of attention. Toxic people want to hear things way too fast, and they're the type of people that will call you often, and you hear from them way too much during the very first month that you've met them. Toxic people are also those who have a track record of moving around a lot. Well, let's look at how Jesus dealt with toxic people. I'm going to give you five responses that Jesus had in letting people go. Number one, sometimes Jesus would just let them go. In John chapter 6, Jesus is talking with his disciples, and his followers come to this very hard truth. Jesus has done some amazing things. He just fed the 5,000 people, and he knew that many people were following him just because he had fed them. So he does some pruning. Jesus never backed off the truth, even if it cost him some of his followers. In John chapter 6, it says, verse 28, then they asked him, what must we do to do the works that he requires? Jesus answered, the work is this, to believe in the one who has sent me. So they asked him, what sign then shall you give us that we shall see and believe you? What will we do? Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and you still do not believe. As we look at what Jesus is saying, I skipped some of the important part of that text because of time. Jesus is driving home the point to his disciples, and he uses an unusual illustration. He says, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you cannot be a follower of Christ. And so many who are following him think, well, he's talking about cannibalism here, and they begin backing away. Jesus gives further explanation when he says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me and still not believe. When you get down to verse 66 through 70, this long chapter of John chapter 6, after many of this sayings, many of the disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, do you want to go away as well? So here we see that Jesus allowed some people just to walk away. He didn't go after them. He just let them go. He says, if you don't want to be a follower of mine, that's fine. I'm going to share the truth with you. But if you don't want to go with me, I'm not going to be chasing you. The second way that Jesus dealt with people who are toxic is sometimes is not only just let them go, but he did not engage them. As we look at Luke chapter 23, verses 9 through 11, we see that some are gathering together and they're questioning Jesus at a long length of time. But he made no answer. Now, this is getting toward the end of the life ministry of Jesus, and he's before the chief priests and the scribes, and they're standing there and they're accusing him. And Herod has his soldiers gathered around Jesus, and they have contempt for him, and they're mocking him, and they're arraying him with splendor, making fun of him, and then he is going back to Pilate. When you think about dealing with a toxic person, oftentimes you find yourself in a no-win situation. I mean, no matter what you say, it's going to be twisted or turned. That is one of the major signs of a toxic person. They're looking at an opportunity to trip you up. They're not looking at the truth. So Jesus says, in essence, I'm not playing your game. I know what you're looking for. You're trying to trip me up. No matter what I say, you're going to twist it. So he makes no answer. Oftentimes, Jesus did this on his earthly ministry. For example, do you remember the story of the rich young ruler in Matthew chapter 19? The rich young ruler, the three things that our culture really admires, you know, rich people, young people, and people that have ruling capacity, leadership capacity. This rich young ruler comes to Jesus and says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, Jesus gives him part of the Ten Commandments. He says, honor your father and your mother. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And the young man said to him, I've kept all these commandments. What do I still lack? So Jesus is now is going to hit a nerve. Jesus says to him, if you would be perfect, go and sell what you possess and give the money to the poor. Give your treasure to the poor, and then you will have treasure in heaven. Come and then follow me. Matthew 19, verse 22 says, when the rich man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And Jesus says to his disciples, truly I say to you, only with difficulty will a rich person ever enter the kingdom of heaven. So here we see Jesus not chasing after this rich young ruler. I mean, if that were me, I'd be saying, well, hey, maybe we can work something out. How about if you meet me halfway? How about if you meet me halfway by giving me half of your wealth and selling it to the poor? Jesus didn't do that. He didn't engage him. He let him walk away. I want to finish the rest of this on the broadcast tomorrow because our time is just about out. But I want to have a time of prayer with you and encourage you today to allow your heart to be opened to those in your life that may be bringing toxicity into your system. You know, whenever you go and have an infection removed, sometimes I have to lance it and remove the infection before healing can take place. That's what pruning is. It is removing that toxin, removing that bad branch so that you can heal up healthier and stronger. So Lord, I come before you today and I thank you for those listening to this broadcast today. And I know this is a tough subject that we're going to finish up tomorrow, but as we look at this subject of toxic people, Lord, give us the capacity to treat people and respond to people just like you did. May we respond in love and graciousness, but may we not compromise truth in the process of confronting those who are toxic in our lives. Lord, allow us to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves, as we carry out your mission for our lives. Allow us not to be deterred, allow us not to be set to the side because we've missed the mission of your life because of toxicity in our lives. We are praying for your wisdom and your guidance as we go through this day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
We'd love for you to join us. For more information, you go to our website at www.hrcc7.org. No matter what you're going through, remember, in Jesus Christ, there is always hope for your heart.